Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. In 1904, the legendary muckraking journalist Lincoln Steffens wrote, "The political condition of Rhode Island is notorious, acknowledged, and it is shameful. Rhode Island is a state for sale and cheap."
It's a state where a governor was sent to jail, as well as the mayor of its capital city. Now, the Speaker of the Rhode Island House has suffered a stunning fall from grace. On Friday, FBI and IRS agents raided the office and home of House Speaker Gordon Fox. Fox resigned his speakership the following day and says he will not seek re-election to the House.
But so far, he hasn't addressed the substance of the investigation. Few people know what it's about. Meanwhile, his colleagues are about to elect a new speaker, and it will probably be House Majority Leader Nick Mattiello, who says he has the votes to be Fox's replacement. Scott McKay is a political analyst with Rhode Island Public Radio. He's been covering this dramatic story, and he joins us now from Providence. Welcome back to the program, Scott. Always great to have you.
Oh, it's great to be on with you, Anthony, as always.
So take us back to Friday. Were there any warnings before this political takedown of Gordon Fox?
Here's what we know. A few weeks ago, the speaker had to pay a $1,500 fine to the State Ethics Commission for refusing or declining to disclose money that he earned from a public contract. In other words, he has a private law practice on the side. Rhode Island legislators are part-time. And what he did was he did some legal title work for a entity called the Providence Economic Development Partnership, which gives loans to businesses who cannot qualify for traditional bank financing. So he took this legal work. He was supposed to disclose this on his state ethics form. He did not. He was fined for that. Now, the FBI a week ago subpoenaed records from this partnership. It turns out that a lot of these loans that have been given out were not paid back. And there is, once again, kind of the stench around this organization where people think that those who got the loans got them from political favoritism. Now, the walls at the State House talk. However, the walls at the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI offices do not. But it was really a surreal moment to be at the State House and to see this ornate office on the third floor guarded by these two big, burly Rhode Island State Police officers in windbreakers while FBI and IRS agents scoured the office and carried out boxes of evidence.
Boy, Scott, it's such a stunning fall for Gordon Fox. Tell us, for those people, especially a lot of our listeners, who might not know a whole lot about him. He was elected to the House in 1992. He was the first openly gay House Speaker in the country. So tell us a little bit about who he is.
He is an up-from-poverty kind of kid who went to Rhode Island College. He's not the Ivy Leaguer. He scraped his way through college working at a local ice cream shop, a Carvel stand. His father was Irish-American. His mother's Cape Verdean. He has always identified himself as black. He was not only the first openly gay speaker, but he's the first African-American speaker that we've had in Rhode Island. He comes from a hardscrabble neighborhood, one of the oldest African-American neighborhoods in the country, up on the east side of Providence. And he worked very hard, came back to his old neighborhood, gets elected as a reformer after the crash of the Rhode Island credit unions back in the 1990s, something, again, that had the whole whiff of corruption around it. And he worked his way up the ladder, became House Finance Chairman. Then he was the House Majority Leader. His speakership has been fairly successful. He has had real success in overhauling the state's public employee pension system. He also was able, working with Governor Lincoln Chafee, to pass legislation that allows same-sex marriage in Rhode Island, and he put through a new education funding formula that people saw as more equal, particularly to help some of our students, poorer students in the beleaguered cities of Rhode Island. Mm. Now, despite all that, there's always been, he's had a couple of other ethics jams, as they say in Rhode Island. He's been jammed up before by the Ethics Commission, and again, it all relates to his private work.
Well, let
He's
me
married to a local guy, Marcus LaFond, who's a hairdresser.
Yeah. Scott, I want to ask you, though, about this sort of legacy of corruption in Rhode Island. And we should be clear. We shouldn't pick on Rhode Island. I mean, the last three speakers of the Massachusetts House have been convicted of felonies. So have lawmakers over the years. So it's not like we don't understand the stench of corruption in this part of the state. But I'm just curious. It has been said in commentary surrounding this political fallout and the fallout of the House speakers here in Massachusetts that the speakership is just so powerful that it changes people. Do you think that's the possibility of what's going on here?
Well, it's interesting. The speakership in Rhode Island is even more powerful than the speakership in Massachusetts. And they're very close. Providence and Boston are these two ancient New England capitals, port cities, where, you know, it's usually been very male, very ethnic. It's interesting. The two speakers in Providence and Boston a few years back, Tom Finner and John Harwood, actually sat next to each other every day at Boston College Law School. So these people know each other. And, you know, Rhode Island's a state. If you look at the history, you know, Massachusetts had a theocratic form of government, an established state religion. Rhode Island was founded by a dissenter who basically runs away from Massachusetts, Roger Williams. And the early fortunes of Rhode Island were made in smuggling, the slave trade, child labor in mills. And we've always had this kind of folks who, in the business community and in politics, who've been willing to trade the, you know, deals for cash and other considerations. It's not pretty, but it happens.
And it happens. Scott McKay, political analyst with Rhode Island Public Radio. Always great to have you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anthony.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.